Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, November the 6th, 311th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, noted CPA, and boy, did he bring a pound of paper, Bill McCauley.
Well, it's a pound of paper. I'm not terribly sure it's real useful, but it is a pound of paper. And Brian, it's great to be here.
And I see some crayon marks on the side, so I know you've at least had a little bit of time to look at it.
Oh, yeah. I particularly like the carmine red.
Yeah, well,
it's one of my favorite colors.
And yeah, that's
forest better. Green.
Maybe Sienna? It's still, wasn't that one?
Yeah, where did they come up with those names?
Yeah.
That's a great...
Yeah. Sunrise over forest.
Yeah. You suppose they had a whole department?
There is some, I think, Crayola. I think I've seen one of those goofy reality show things. I think they have two people, and they name crayon colors. And like Benjamin Moore or somebody like that, right?
Yeah.
He's got one person. All they do is name paint.
Wow. You know, my problem is I lack the
white, light white, dark white, shiny white.
The descriptive depth and perception necessary to do that. Yeah, I know.
Yellow, white.
Yeah, my wife and I have had that conversation before. It's like, that's yellow. And she'll like, or I'll say, that's purple. No, it's not. It's, and then anyway, yeah. It's like, okay, anyway.
It's sunrise at dusk. What? Wouldn't that be fun? You get screwy things like that.
It's not to say she's not right. It's just that I don't understand it. So,
no, I was thinking naming things that were like, what is it? Two truths that can't exist simultaneously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Self-canceling.
Yeah. Sunrise at dusk.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Get a little dingy here. When we come back, I don't know. What do you got over there?
Oh, just a little bit of stuff about what's going on between now and the end of the year in terms of what goes away and what stays in terms of tax law.
Anticipated pain or not?
Well, it depends on your perspective.
There we go. Perspectives when we come back.
I'm Mark Biette with today's garden tip about not being a prunomaniac. The conscientious gardener needs to know that each kind of plant has its own best time to be pruned. Avoid shearing flowering plants into shapes which really look unnatural. Thin flowering shrubs with a hand pruner. I'm Mark Biette with today's garden tip.
You've got to get up pretty early in the morning to hear Mark Biette and his wealth of gardening knowledge. 5 to 7 a.m. Sundays on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and information time. It's 3:14. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Bill McCauley. But before we do, our quote this afternoon, and then gratuitous plug.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know. If we did the plug early, everybody would go run off to their computers.
Yeah.
Well, so we don't want to lose everybody.
I think people are sitting on the edge of their seat at this point.
I think so, yeah. That's probably because they're hurtling home or to the polling station. Our quote this afternoon comes from an unknown source. I wash everything on the gentle cycle. It's much more humane. See? Who says there's no levity here on election day?
If only political advertisements would run on the gentle cycle.
Hey, I did see one Feinstein ad.
Really?
Yeah.
Does she?
One.
Really?
Yep. I was surprised.
Yeah. Is she running a post?
Yeah.
I don't know the answer to that. Anyway, I actually do know the answer to that.
Gang, if you go to your favorite radio station's website, I presume I don't have to fill in the blank on that one, people. Mm-hmm. You can click on the election banner, and it'll take you to a page we have set up. Justin did it. It's got direct links to Humboldt County, to Delaware County, to Curry County for local election results, as well as the national tracking, the presidential race, as well as a count for the Senate and the Congress. So you can see how things develop there as you're listening or watching to whatever you're listening or watching to.
Way to go, JB. That was pretty good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we kind of had the idea smacked us in the face on Monday.
Yeah.
But, yes, he did turn it rather quickly.
Yeah, well, he's the bright part of our family, so it's nice to have.
That's because he plays with light bulbs.
Oh, you can use light bulbs, huh?
Yeah, he's not even paying attention.
Exactly.
Or he is, and he's just showing it very well.
Yeah.
So, anyway, there's an opportunity there. Election coverage tonight on KINS. We're going to kind of our nighttime programming lineup, so to speak, is we're going to have the double discount in the 6 o'clock hour. Jim Bohannon in the 7 o'clock, and then CBS is providing some long coverage, so we'll just go with that since we don't get local election results anyway. So yeah, that'll go from 8 to 10 o'clock, and we go back to Dave Ramsey. And if you want any of the updates as the evening continues, since we only have, we got Arcata with the utility measure, and one person running for every seat. Eureka, we've got one running unopposed and one contested.
Yes.
Fortuna's got three running for two. There's really not a whole lot we could do to fill wall to wall.
Yeah.
Unless you really want to hear the bobbing head or the talking head.
And yeah, it's not, clearly it doesn't mean that your attitude is it's unimportant. It's just that there's not a lot of volume.
There's no local here, man. Everything's playing national, so we made the determination to go with the national stuff. And then have the website there, and then obviously tomorrow morning in the 6 o'clock we'll have whatever updates there might be with some of the decisions. I would like to think that we would have the finals in by then, but who knows. So we'll have all that stuff there for you. So I've plenty of ways to find it, and you can use us kind of as the...
Nice.
What's the fancy word, portal? Okay, you can use us as the place to go to click on something to get the results you want.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah.
We can sit there with our iPads and our laps and be tracking things and have up-to-date.
You'll be doing other things, whatever they may happen to be.
Well, we won't be watching the World Series.
No, or hopefully Monday Night Football.
No.
Unless you taped it.
Could have. So I guess for those people, we wouldn't want to talk about the result because that would ruin it for them.
Oh, speaking of ruining things. Yeah. Let's take a look, see at what the state of California has got on the ballot. We've got 30 and 32. Obviously, we're not going to say anything about what trends or exit polls or any of that kind of stuff because, we don't have it. Two, we wouldn't want to influence you. Let people vote on it. But what did you get out of those two propositions, other than they're both financially related, of course?
Well, the Prop 30 is – you know, the showpiece from Governor Brown, and it's the single most probably the most prominent issue that's on the ballot, simply because it's the governor's way out of some of the impending fiscal problems that may that will ensue if eventually as we continue to chase a budget deficit and a growing budget deficit. And so
the gratuitous plug took too long. We'll be back and follow up with that after the
I'll be ready.
The profit center.
There you go.
There's a brand new show on KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Country Gold with Randy Owen, Sunday evenings from 8 till midnight. It's a 4-hour intensive music show hosted by the lead vocalist of the group Alabama. Country Gold will feature 13 songs per hour and highlighted music from the 70s to the mid-90s. Be sure to listen to KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Sunday evening from 8 till midnight. Country Gold with Randy Owen.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Bill McCauley. Bill, before the break, you were explaining a little bit of the differences between Proposition 30 that's on the ballot and 32, and you'd said... You got into the point of explaining that Jerry Brown was kind of the brainchild, if you will, of 30.
Yeah. And basically, the governor, when he was elected a year and a half ago, or a little more than that, I guess, but anyway, when he was elected, he had some initiatives where he had tried to deal with some of the budgetary stalemates that are in Sacramento, and he kind of failed spectacularly in getting people to the table and getting people to compromise and whatnot, and from both sides of the aisle. It wasn't, I think he tried to position himself in the middle, which unfortunately in our political environment in California, when it comes to budget matters, is kind of a dangerous place to be, and we can probably think of lots of ways to envision spot in the middle between.
If he's on an island and the sharks are circling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So because of that, and because he couldn't get either party to buy into some of his ideas for dealing with some of the budgetary issues, he's kind of pinned his hopes on Prop 30. Prop 30 does a couple things. Number one, there's an income tax increase on upper end income tax payers in the state of California that would take effect January 1. And so that's a a near-term issue for a lot of people, because or for a number of people. And then the second piece of that is that, and actually there's a third piece, but the second tax piece of that is, I'll hold it. If I could hold my fingers, and nobody can see it, so it works out
That's
fine.
That's right. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. I'll just hold up this one for you, Brian.
Yeah, thanks. Wow.
The
17.
The second piece of that is the sales tax increase, and that, again, that would come a year later, January 1, 2014, and simply because if it passes, there just isn't enough time to get that. You know, there's register changes and all the other changes that have to occur, and so that will trail. And so this thing fully phased in really is 2 years out, as opposed to 1 year out. You're going to have the income tax impact in year one, and you're going to have the sales tax impact in year two. So that ends up being kind of an interesting revenue side, and that's, you know, we're all going to have to judge that, whether that's a reasonable revenue source or not. And then what happens is that if this thing doesn't pass, the third part of it is that there'll be kind of automatic cuts that are going to occur, and that's going to be near-term pain for the legislators to try to figure out where those cuts are going to fall. Experience would tell you that the cuts will fall on education, perhaps prison system. Those are the places I think where people perceive the most flexibility. A lot of the other numbers don't seem to get cut when they're, you know, a lot of those other areas don't seem to experience the cuts.
Yeah, it wouldn't be that staffing at the state level might need to be looked at all.
Well, you know, I would argue, you know, both at the state level and at the federal level, we have to become fiscally real, and we've kind of been.
Counties done it. The cities have done it.
Yeah, they have. The locals
Special
have had to do
have.
It. Yeah, they've had to do it. Unfortunately, the state doesn't have to do it. It just keeps having deficits and kind of ignores its responsibility to run a balanced budget. And the feds are even worse. And you look at four successive years of over $1 billion deficits. I mean $1 trillion deficits at the federal level. And so our problems at the state and federal level are huge. And if we don't get our arms around those, that's going to be really problematic for a lot of reasons.
If the governor's proposal passes, we've got 7 weeks before it goes into effect for income tax. Is that enough time to react in time for our personal taxes, to strategize, to get all that stuff together? Does your industry have enough?
We call it
guts?
We call it a profession, Brian, okay. As opposed to an industry.
Your niche. is there enough knowledge now so you can start talking to people or recommending? Because I would think that you'd be wanting to plow through almost everybody you got to see, okay, how does this work against or work for this individual and that individual, and just start plowing through the pile.
Yeah, it's going to be a short stack of people that are going to be impacted by it from an income tax, because it comes into play at higher income levels. So it's not going to be your average Californian that's going to be paying this the income tax. It's going to it's going to fall more disproportionately on the higher income tax paying Californians. And there's always the question is, if I'd like to see the numbers, and I haven't seen them, but it would be interesting if you could take the top 50 income taxpayers in California and look at what percentage of the revenue is derived from them just on their income tax stream, and then kind of do a what if and see, well, what if they relocate to Nevada or something like
Why
that.
Why are these guys still in California?
Yeah, well, some of them are pretty vested, but you get enough motivation and they may decide that looking for greener pastures makes some sense.
KINS, news and information time. It's 3:30. We're paying 100% attention to the clock, and we'll be back with more from Bill McCauley.
There's never been a clear winner in the so-called battle of the sexes, but in the battle for bacteria-free hands, one half of the population is germier than the other. So whose hands are cleaner, men or women? Hi, I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and here's to your health. The researchers tested 51 college students using a new detailed system for detecting bacterial DNA. But remember, most of the bacteria in our bodies is either harmless or beneficial.
Dr. Hoffman answers some of your health questions on Health Talk, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 on KWSW 980 AM.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Bill McCauley. Did you find anything? Or you?
Oh, I'm just, yeah.
You're doing research.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
What a guy. What a guy. Yeah. This afternoon we're talking a little bit about a couple of different things. Bill, for those who donate either for political causes or for charitable causes or religious causes or because they're supporting the neighborhood kid, what document is a documentation requirement for all the same?
No, because the tax consequence is different for all of them. So, you know, if you're making a political donation, it's not deductible. So,
end of story.
Yeah,
it's just
it's a non-deductible.
It's an investment.
Expense. Yeah,
not a donation.
Yeah, and so what happens is that in those cases, you know, your ability to support that. And the need for that is pretty limited. The only time you'd really would need to be able to support that it was a political payment would be to verify that it wasn't some other kind of payment, if you follow me. In other words, that it wasn't really a payment to shareholder disguised as a political contribution or something like that that should have been reported to a shareholder or something along those lines. So the documentation standard is kind of a standard, if you would. In the sense that it's not there's nothing special for a political contribution. For charitable contributions, the documentation standard is different, and it depends on if it's cash contribution or a non-cash contribution. But if you make a cash contribution of less than $250 to a charity, then basically you just have to be able to prove you made that payment, and you could have a copy of a canceled check or some other indication. If that payment or a series of payments exceeds $250, then you have to go and you have to have a receipt from the organization that you made the contribution to.
Each time or cumulative for the year?
Typically, if you think of someone like at a church and maybe they're doing regular giving at a church.
I know, that's a separate area of discussion. Say Teen Challenge. Let's uh-huh. use a local, okay?
Okay?
You decide that you want to kick in, I don't know, $50 a month.
Mm-hmm.
So it's certainly a doable by a lot of folks.
And if I can do the math on $50 a month, that's $600 in a year.
You've got 17 fingers up. Yeah,
there
you're
we
safe.
Go. Yeah. So that's more than $250. So there is a requirement that before you file your income tax return, that you have a receipt from Redwood Teen Challenge indicating that you had made a contribution of $600, there is actually some specific requirements what that receipt must contain.
And the responsibility is on them, or the responsibility is on us?
The responsibility is joint in a sense, because ultimately it's your responsibility if you're filing your tax return to have that receipt. But Redwood Teen Challenge knows if you're going to want to make a contribution in the future, they're going to want to work with you to make sure you have what you need to support your deduction. So what happens is that most charitable organizations are very good about accumulating the right information, providing an adequate receipt for those. Gets a little dicey on the fundraising auction dinner type things. That's a whole other realm. But, you know, when we talk about a normal cash contribution, non-exchange transaction, in other words, I give the money without an expectation of something in return.
Goodness of heart.
You know,
rather than something.
I mean, not to say I might not get something because I feel good that I made the contribution. That's okay. But if you have an expectation that you're going to make this contribution and somebody's going to
come over and help to clean up the backyard,
that becomes tainted, yeah.
So if you made 12 donations totaling that figure, do you need 12 receipts, or can you get one at the end of the year?
You can have one at the end of the year.
So either way, that's okay.
Yeah.
Now, you had mentioned some of the fundraising events that seem to be so prolific anymore. You buy a ticket. You get a dinner.
Yep.
Obviously, it's not a $200 dinner because it's got a hamburger in the middle of it and a couple French fries around it. You know, it's a buck and a half at the store, $10 at the restaurant.
Yeah. Well,
okay. Is that worth messing around with?
You can, and so what? But what you would have to know is what the value is of the dinner to be able to deduct that. So, as an example, if the dinner was, you know, if you had reason to know that the dinner cost 20.
There was one White Castle hamburger, by the way.
Those dinners tend to be more expensive than one thinks. The cost, you know, right. I think we know that from our service club experience. You know, the cost to put on one of those dinners and the cost to provide that dinner is not inconsequential. So let's say, as an example, just because it's a nice, easy round number, you buy two tickets for $100 each. So you've spent that $200. And you have reason to know that the cost of the meal is $25 per meal. So that would mean that there was $150 if you weren't receiving anything else back from the organization that would be, in effect, a contribution to that organization, assuming that they're a charitable entity and whatnot. So that would be how you'd make that type of a calculation. You basically have to consider what's the value of what I received in return for my contribution. And sometimes, as an example, you can go to an auction and you get a good deal. Maybe you buy a,
a picture of somebody's chair at the World Series for $400 when it's priced at value of 10.
Yeah, well, it's priceless to me.
Yeah, I understand these things. Yeah. Okay, signed, autographed.
Yeah.
Which will drive it down to about $200.
Yeah. The point is, you have to look and find out what's the value of what you receive. So as an example, if you're at an auction, a sports auction, and you purchase a Joe Montana autographed jersey that is worth, and you pay...
Signed by Joe Montana.
Not Brian Papstein autographed.
Well, you know, that Dolby guy keeps signing my ties and says that they're autographed ties, like I'm supposed to be impressed.
Yeah, well, Dolby, you know, you can't get him to sign it, you know.
He can't do a check, but he's killer on ties.
He is great on a tie, yeah. So, you know, the point is you have to determine. And there are values. A lot of times the organization went out and bought that item to be able to raffle it. So there may be some ability to go back and look at that. There's different ways of going about those kinds of things. As an example, my wife and I were at College of Redwoods Sports Auction, and we bought some tickets to a sporting event. And they also gave us a coupon for some gasoline. So, you know, those things would all be deducts off our price that we paid to determine what any contribution
I thought this was going to be a whine about the NHL season. How fortunate we have to take a break. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:43. You know, you hear the story once, it's not worth repeating. We'll be back with more from Bill McCauley.
Water always wins. That's why there's a Grand Canyon. I'm Glenn Higgy, America's master handyman. Keeping water away from your home's foundation is one of the most important things you can do. If your home is on a crawl space, you need to know what is going on under your feet. Your home's structural integrity and your family's health may depend on it.
Listen to Glenn Higgy, Sunday morning, 7 to 8 a.m. on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Time is 3:47. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Bill McCauley. Bill, some of the different challenges that are out there for folks, particularly in a kind of a period of time where there's a lot of shifting sands going on right now. Yeah. Is it still too early to make any anticipatory moves about tax planning for this year? Do we have to wait for the outcome of today, find out what that projects into, who wins, who loses, what passes, what doesn't pass?
Brian, in answer to your question, we don't know what's going to happen. If you told me, the president's going to be reelected, I still can't tell you what's going to happen in the next month and a half, but between now and the end of the year, what's going to get dealt with and what isn't. Conversely, if you tell me that Governor Romney's going to be elected, I can't tell you what's going to happen either. I mean, there are some interesting theories out there as far as, you know, as an example, let's go with the Romney gets elected just because it's different, changes the status quo.
Well, he doesn't take office till the end of January.
Right. But and the point was, maybe the Republicans would get in there and do this and this right away, you know, the point is, if you're a Republican and you made a pledge to Grover Norquist not to, you know, to never raise taxes, Wouldn't you rather wait until the old Bush tax increases tax cuts roll away, and now taxes are gone up, and then you can go halfway back up and still say you've never voted for a tax increase, even though the net taxes. Anyway, my point is, from a political perspective, you can look and see how people on both sides of this argument can position themselves, given what promises they might have made or what indications they might have made to their supporters. So it's very difficult to know. That being said, we're trying to work with people to say, look, if then, and kind of watch as we go. There's a real big wild card in the alternative minimum tax exemption that could affect a number of people, and we don't know whether they're going to patch it or not this year. It's still out there in the ether, and so all these things make it very difficult. All you can kind of do is plan on different contingencies and then see what happens and kind of tweak the model as you get closer to year end. But
so you're not recommending a plan B. You're at about the letter H?
Yeah, I think exactly. I think you're looking at multiple strings and saying, okay, if then, here's where we are. And it's really not just if this, then this. It's really, there's a lot, the decision tree runs further.
I know that you're going to say it depends, so I know this is...
Okay.
At what point, at what income level, does it make sense to start playing the what-ifs? So that it's worth... if it's a buck and a half difference, who cares? If it's big money, yeah, we all care. Roughly, what point does that start coming into play?
Well, I think in terms of year-end tax planning, it can be really low levels of income because of maybe their Social Security that they should, how much IRA distribution should we take? So it depends, Brian.
All right. I knew it was coming. Thanks for coming by, Bill.
Thank you.
We've been talking shop this afternoon with Bill McCauley. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.